You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a foreign affairs reporter joins us from Ukraine to bring us up to date on the dramatic developments there this weekend.
First, former U.S. Labor Secretary Robert Reich is scheduled to join us now. Having trouble reaching him. Hopefully we'll have him on the line in just a few moments. However, I'm going to summarize a piece he wrote recently that we're going to talk to him about and see what you think about it. His case. His question, why isn't the American middle class raising a ruckus? Why isn't there a new progressive movement, he asks, on issues like income inequality? He's worried that too much of economic gains are going to people at the top, middle class salaries eroding, the ranks of the poor increasing. He says in the past, during the Depression era, we saw mass movements for reform, but we're not now, and he wonders why. You can join in with your calls, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. He wonders, he says working people may not feel comfortable enough to put together a political movement to try to create change in the United States. Maybe the Tea Party is part of the response to some of the issues he's talking about. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Do you think that the United States is ready for a new progressive movement, something along the lines of the progressive era reforms, fighting Bob La Follette from here in Wisconsin? Or he compares it to the New Deal era. People are reacting to the Depression with calls for economic reform. 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or email talk@WPR.org.
And what is your response to this? Do you think that Robert Reich is correct? He's looking for a middle-class revolution, wonders why we're not seeing it. What does it take to begin a revolution? Do we live in a time when you're not really going to see that sort of thing? People express their discontent through different avenues? Or do you think people are focused on other things, like getting the day-to-day life taken care of? 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234.
We've got Lou on the line in Oconomowoc to start things off. Lou, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was telling your producer there, I'm kind of wondering how big an effect, you know, this big money and the 30-second sound bites are having on people these days. You know, I keep myself really well educated on a lot of this stuff, but I notice, like, a lot, I'm 60. I'm going to be 61 years old tomorrow. You know, so you've seen a lot, but it just seems to me, you know, that people are just, you know, people my age, it's almost like they regurgitate everything they've saw on that. Mm-hmm. I can almost tell you what night they were watching and who they were watching.
You mentioned your age, Lou. Do you think we're more cynical as a result of the political ads we're seeing than we used to be, say, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago?
Yeah, I guess we are cynical that way. I mean, my dad told me years. Well, I don't know. You know, I have to laugh because my dad's been gone many years, but my dad always used to, he just says they all lie.
So there's always been that cynicism there. Lou, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to some other callers now at 800-642-1234.
And we'll go next to Chris joining us from Madison. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, great show as usual.
Thank you.
Just want to say that I think that the people of America have realized that there isn't a need for any reform other than to decrease the size of government, because Obamacare is a perfect example that the government doesn't do things better than the private sector, and that every time the government steps into something, it just turns it into a quagmire. Government intervention in everyday life is almost always poison.
So, Chris, do you think that that people aren't calling for government reforms of the economy because they think the government has a bad track record?
Absolutely. I mean, what point to one thing that the government actually did where it increased outcomes? If you look at outcome-based statistics, there's nothing the government's done that has actually solved the problem that they wanted to fix. War on drugs, there's more drugs. War on poverty, there's more poverty. You know, just get out of the way and let people prosper.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, Chris. Appreciate it.
1-800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can weigh on this. We're sounding off now about a recent opinion piece from former Labor Secretary Robert Reich saying he wonders why there is not a middle class revolution. He sees more people as becoming poor, most economic gains going to the people at the top, and asks why there isn't more of a ruckus. And what do you think? Do you see that shrinking middle class? What do you think can be done about it? What do you think will be the pressing issues for the middle class in the coming years? You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. We're hearing from you right now, 1-800-642-1234. And we go next to Jeff joining us in Viroqua. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
My question is, like, how much you may know that the frustration and anger of people, maybe it's put through, like, in the sports instead, or like mainstream entertainment and whatnot, and how much that may have to do with it, that instead of like going out and doing something or being active or expressing your anger in like meaningful ways, that people may just put it into, you know, cheering or cheering against their, you know, favorite sports teams or turning on the TV instead.
And do you think that's because people feel maybe discontent about what politics can do right now?
Yeah, and then it sort of like wears them out so that they don't have the energy to, you know, instead put it towards, you know, making a better life for themselves and their families or others.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, Jeff. We'll go now to Dan joining us from Kenosha. Hi there, Dan.
Hello. I don't know if the politicians can fix any of this stuff. I have 35 years machining, programming, everything, and my wages were cut, you know, down past 2008, and they make it like I'm lucky to even have a job while, you know, the company's still buying new machines and everybody that, you know, the higher-ups have newer cars and, you know, and if you say anything, there, you just get yourself in trouble.
That's one of the points Robert Reich made in his piece, that people don't want to lose what they've got, people in the remaining middle class. Thanks a lot for joining in the conversation, Dan.
All right, and we move next to Lacey, who's with us in Cassville. Hey, Lacey.
Hi there. I don't know if my question sounds silly or not, but we're supposed to be leading a middle-class political uprising, and we're struggling to get by as it is. Our lives are so busy trying to divide between family and all these extra hours to put food on the table. When are we supposed to find time to have this revolt?
Right. So it's a question of there's only so many hours of the day, you're saying, and, you know, also getting food on the table for the family and yourself so people don't have time.
I mean, there's a lot of very educated people that understand the situation, but they're trying so hard to get by that joining in a political uprising, I mean, that takes a lot of commitment, I would believe. And I don't believe I could find the time to do anything more than complain over coffee at this point.
Right. And maybe you're saying lost wages as well.
Exactly.
All right, Lacey, thank you so much for calling and sharing your thoughts.
We'll go now to Anne with us in Viroqua. Hi there, Anne.
Hi. I think part of it is that in the United States, everybody is middle class. And in other countries, such as Britain, people are very aware of working class, upper working class, lower middle class, upper working class, and aristocracy. And in America, we're all middle class. And people just don't know where their bread is buttered on. They think they're a part of it. And what with corporations being people and the ads that we get, we're not getting information anymore.
And let me pin you down. Are you saying we are all really middle class, or we're just not conscious of those distinctions that you say other countries
might
be?
We're not conscious of the distinctions that other countries might be.
Interesting. All right. Anne, thanks a lot for calling in. We're talking about a recent piece by Robert Reich. We were hoping and are still hoping he'll join us today, saying a lot of economic problems facing the middle class. In past historical circumstances, there have been mass movements for reform. He's wondering why there aren't now. We're taking your calls right now at 800-642-1234.
And we go next to John joining us from Racine. Hi, John.
Hello, John. Hi. Well, you're asking the question, why aren't people doing anything? It's basically because they're scared to death.
What are they scared of?
Well, they're threatened to work. They're threatened with their jobs. you're told, well, if you do this or that, well, we'll fire you, or we'll move the, you know, we move this factory elsewhere. So people aren't saying anything because they're scared to death of losing their jobs.
Okay, thank you, John.
We'll go now to Lucas, joining us in Chautauqua. Hi, Lucas.
Hi, nice to hear you. I think part of our problem is that the people realize that we're not in control of our government anymore. I think the lobbyists are now.
And so you think that people just feel disconnected, don't even think they have a voice in government?
Yeah, I believe that's part of the problem.
All right, Lucas, thanks for the call. We'll get to some more of your calls now at 800-642-1234. We've got Mark with us in Prescott. Mark, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I've got a number of things I'd like to say. I don't know how much you let me say. One thing I think that we could do to help the economy is not tax people when they make additions on their houses. I've got a neighbor who would love to put a garage up. He is afraid to death that the government's going to come in and tax them. When you think about it, if we didn't do that, the construction companies would be doing better. The building materials companies would be doing better. A lot of places, you know, we could stimulate the economy by doing that.
Great. We'll leave it there. I believe Robert Reich will join us in just a few minutes talking about his new piece on American middle class politics. He's asking, with our current economic conditions, why aren't we seeing a mass middle class political reform movement?
We'll be talking with Robert Reich right after these headlines from WPR News.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're joined now by Robert Reich. He's a professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley, and former U.S. Labor Secretary.
In a recent piece, he wonders why the American middle class isn't taking political action in the face of income inequality and declining economic opportunity. Robert Reich, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
To start off, how bad are things for the American middle class?
Well, middle class wages are dropping if you adjust for inflation. Median family incomes are about 5% below what they were at the start of the recovery. So it's not much of a recovery for most Americans. 95% of all of the economic gains since the recovery started. Now, let me just repeat that. 95% of all economic gains have gone to the top 1% by income. So this is not the kind of recovery, and it's not the kind of economy that our grandfathers understood or even our parents lived through. This is a very different one.
Why did we see mass protests and action in the Depression era or going back to the Progressive era and not seeing that today?
Well, I think for one thing, most of the mass movements in America really depended upon three groups of people. One were workers, many of them in organized labor. The second, students, young people who were graduates. The third depended on Americans being, overall, trusting of the government, feeling that the government actually could do something. And fundamentally, the problem is all three of those sources of reform are in trouble or have atrophied. I mean, organized labor is now down to fewer than 7% of private sector workers. Students are laden in debt. They're not going to make a ruckus. And the public, compared to 30 or 40 years ago, has lost its trust in government's willingness, ability to do what is necessary to be done.
Let me throw another idea at you. After the Depression, in the New Deal, we got a social safety net. It's been added to some since then in the War on Poverty. Things won't get as bad for people in the middle class now as they did back in the Depression. They don't have as much reason to call for more change.
Well, that's certainly possibly correct, although we do have in this country right now millions of workers who are hanging on by a thread. 76% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. We've got 22% of our young people, our children, are in poverty. That is not, that's the highest percentage we've had, see, in the post-war era. So it's not all that good for that many people.
There is a political movement that's talking about some of these issues. The Tea Party, are they tapping into some of the frustration you see with these economic issues?
Yes, they are. Certainly the feeling that government is corrupt, it is in the hands and the tool of big business and Wall Street. After all, the Tea Party movement came out of the Wall Street bailout, as did the Occupy movement. But unlike Occupy, the Tea Partiers emphasize their disgruntlement and distrust of government. Occupy is pretty much, it may have gone underground, but it's certainly not visible. But I think that we're seeing the gradual increase of a tinderbox sometime, and I can't tell you when, but if present trends continue over the next year or two or certainly five, we are going to see a reform movement, much as we saw between 1901 and 1914, the Progressive Era, or the 1930s, or to a large extent in the 1960s.
What would some of the goals of that movement look like? What would the agenda be for this progressive movement that you see lacking?
I think the central goal will be to move to a more shared prosperity. Instead of 95% of the economic gains going to the top 1% and the typical household actually becoming poorer, the goal will be to reverse that. A higher minimum wage will be the beginning. There will be a move toward a more progressive tax system, better education and more resources available to young people with regard to public higher education, and I think more restrictions ultimately on Wall Street. I mean, the biggest banks are now once again far too big to fail or jail or curtail.
Who would lead a movement like this?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Leadership, if you look back at the Progressive Era and also the 1930s and 1960s, leadership emerges. It emerges from various strands of this kind of disgruntlement or reform movement. There are people out there who will become the leaders, I have no doubt.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got Steve with us in Manitowoc. Steve, hi.
Robert. Thank you so much for serving our government and the Clinton administration. I really admired you.
Thank you, Steve.
I'll tell you what. I think one of the things right now, you said it before, is the safety net right now. I think when you looked at the time of the progressives way back, the Roosevelt days and stuff, those people were really, really poor. And the rural people were just dirt poor. And I think right now what you see is that there's so many benefits being distributed by the government called the SNAP for the food, or you got your heating assistance, you have your free rental if you're low income, and there's so many broad-based support systems that I think the people are comfy watching their TV and their heat and will live like this then.
Gotcha. Thanks, Steve. Robert Reich, what do you think?
Well, it's certainly possible that a lot of people who show up on the national income data as impoverished actually are doing better than they otherwise look like they're doing. But as I travel around the country, kind of a free-floating focus group, and talk to families about what's going on for them, they feel, and I would say a majority of the people that I interview and I talk with at a kind of a random basis, I sense a real growing distress, a growing crisis. Many of them lost a lot, including their homes, during the Great Recession. They expected a recovery that would be a thorough recovery. That is, a recovery that would be widely spread, and it has not been. And that has seeded a degree of anger and frustration. And these people are working harder than they've ever worked before. They're playing by the rules, and yet they're not getting ahead. In fact, they're falling behind.
Has there been a psychological change in this country where maybe once upon a time we thought of an economic problem as a collective issue, and now it's a personal issue? What's wrong with my finances, my job situation, my family?
Well, that's certainly a good point. I mean, in the Depression era of the 1930s, we were all in the same boat together because everybody, quite almost literally everybody, lost their ground and was either impoverished or very close to being impoverished. In the Progressive Era before that, the early part of the 20th century, we had large numbers of people who had gone through the Depression of 1893 together. Don't forget also that by the 1950s and 60s, Americans had experienced the common kind of common enemy of not only depression, but also a war, a fascism. And we had all participated in that. There was a degree of sense of we're all in this boat together. We've forgotten that. I think Americans today no longer feel quite as much in the same boat as we felt after World War II.
What would have to change for people to feel like they were in the same boat like that?
Well, I certainly hope and pray we don't have another cataclysm like World War II or anything like that. Nobody wants that. But I think that if the economy continues to be as weak as it is, as if the recovery continues to be very fragile, if we have another downdraft, such as we had in the Great Recession, a lot of people will feel that they are up against the same problems together.
You mentioned the rise of the progressive era after the Gilded Age of the 1890s. In Wisconsin, we had Fighting Bob La Follette. Do you think there is another Fighting Bob out there in the wings somewhere, ready, and people along with that person, to bring these issues to the forefront?
I am sure there is. I mean, Fighting Bob La Follette was one of the great leaders of the progressive era. He understood what average people needed, and he made sure that there was at least a minimal set of standards to help working people so that they would not be in poverty. I think that there are people like him waiting in the wings right now. I wish I knew their names. I'm sure they're out there. We will find them.
Let me present a pessimistic scenario. No solution, progressive, conservative, anything is going to help. There have been technological changes, economic changes beyond political control that are going to make these trends in the economy continue and the middle class decline. Do you buy that?
No, I don't, Rob. I don't buy it because, first of all, it's not true. We make the rules of the economy. We can change those rules. We've done it, again, at least three times over the last 120 years, and we can do it again. And if we become economic determinists or fatalists, and we just assume things will continue to get worse and worse for the middle class and, by implication, the poor, then we are flirting not with reform, but somewhere down the line, revolution.
Robert Reich, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rob.
That was Robert Reich, former U.S. Secretary of Labor. His most recent book is Aftershock, The Next Economy and America's Future. We have a link to his recent piece on middle-class America on the Central Time Facebook page.